Place to be nation, what is going on? Chad Campbell back again with another pod blast. Today I'm going to be looking at WXW Inner Circle 4. Yes, I'm on board the WXW bandwagon. They have a lot of great buzz coming out of their World Tag League weekend this past weekend. And decided to dive in, subscribe to the High Spots Network to catch the WXW shows, and I hope to go back and look at some of their 2017 highlights, as up to this point in the year, I've only been able to watch the 16 karat. WXW is an interesting promotion overall, and for me personally, I think it along with Dragon Gate are probably the two biggest promotions I've kind of changed my perception on. And I don't know when that shift happened, but I'd kind of always associated WXW as being, I guess, kind of too fan-friendly, which sounds weird, but there was just something about, like, in the early 2000s, like, the fact that they had the fans surround the ring and pound the mat, and they were so, like, evasive with the wrestlers that it was kind of off-putting for me, both from just an aesthetic standpoint and from a presentation standpoint. But now with that being commonplace with both Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, which I've actually attended a show where the majority of the crowd was standing up, and also in Beyond Wrestling where the crowd stands up, there's no seats there. It's kind of become more commonplace, and it's just something that along with other promotions allowing the fans to stand around the ring, pound the mat, that along with kind of the blurring of lines with social media where you're DMing wrestlers and kind of the ease of access to the wrestlers have made me soften my stance a lot on kind of that barrier that they don't have guardrails, that it's kind of one immersive event between the fans and the wrestlers a lot of times with WXW. So I watched a good bit of their stuff from 2016, thought they had a great year, but I also think WXW is certainly a promotion that benefits from watching most of their output chronologically. They do have the two big weekends, the 16 karat and the World Tag League, where you can kind of parachute in and watch some of their established stars as well as some outside talent. But watching the Shotgun show that they release weekly, as well as a lot of their other spot shows throughout the year, really gives you an idea of some of this talent that, quite frankly, is not very notable outside of the WXW universe. People like Yearn Simmons, like Ilya Dragunov, which I'm sure I butchered that name. These types of talents don't get out much. Even Walter is someone that just has debuted with PWG, that came over for Evolve, that started working more regularly in Progress this year, that's kind of getting his name out more just this year. But he was a WXW stalwart, mainstay, trainer, etc., kind of the ace of the promotion for a while before he got out there. So you still have all this other talent that is mostly WXW in their own universe, and it's kind of neat to see them evolve and have their own feuds. Even a couple of other guys I didn't mention, like Avalanche and Bad Bones, two other examples of guys really over for the WXW environment but not very known unless you watch the product diligently. So this show is at their training academy. They've done four of these shows. I've watched the first one, and I think the third one, I watched the one from earlier this year. I really like the look of these shows. This show goes about an hour and 20 minutes, has six matches. None of the matches feel rushed. One does kind of overstay its welcome, but none were excessively bloated. So it's a real easy watch. I love the atmosphere of the training facility. It kind of gives a different vibe to the proceedings, but it just looks really neat, and it kind of looks like we're kind of encountering a sparring session in some regards. But I don't think the workers take any nights off with what we see here. So let me dive right in. The first match was Alexander James versus Julian Pace. I'd never seen Julian Pace before. He's the current Academy Cup holder. Alexander James, I think, is making a name for himself throughout the U.S. Independence, mostly in Nova Pro, I'd say, but in other areas as well this year. And he has an interesting character. I think he's a very solid worker, and that kind of flowed into this match, which was really a great opener for me. This is the type of wrestling I like. James focuses on a body part, the arm. He varies his attack. Pace sells it well. Even when he does his comeback, he doesn't use the arm throughout his comeback. You know, this is not one of those have an appendage that's fallen off and it's dead forever type sell jobs, but it didn't need to be. I think that's where you get the disconnect sometimes in these selling arguments with the kind of the selling fascination from some people where, oh, if he kicks his arm once, then it should be totally neutralized for the entire match. I don't think that's what many people say, and like that's their focus. It's more that if this is worked on, if this is a focal point of the match, then it is important. And that's what you saw here. James worked over the arm. It became important. Pace did his comeback. His comeback and his offensive arsenal overall is pretty flashy. A reverse Rana, some cross bodies, stuff like that. That could have used a little more polish. I think that was the biggest blemish of Pace. But then you have a finish that was brilliant, where earlier in the match, James uses the Tower of London spot, but he also does a Cobra Crutch with the arm that was worked over, which I thought was great. And then at the end, James does an Ancona roll right into a Hammerlock submission, which looked brutal, and you get the tap out. So a really good, solid opener. This is what I like out of a wrestling match, just 10 minutes of logical good work, two workers that are kind of on the rise that go out there and show they have a good knowledge of the fundamentals and can produce a good match. Gave it 3 stars. Our next match was Kim Ray versus Rafa. My first time seeing Rafa, who's from Portugal, but had moved to Germany. So I'm sure we'll probably be seeing him a good bit in WXW. Kim Ray is one of those WXW mainstays I was talking about in the early going, where he's been around for a couple of years now, but with me being a novice to the promotion still, I haven't seen a whole ton of him, just from the 2016 stuff I've seen and then his 16 karat stuff this year. This was kind of an extended squash to a degree. Rafa starts out really energetic, has more aerial offense. Ray kind of grinds the match down with some strikes. I did like Rafa responding with some violent strikes of his own, including a double stomp and a nice knee strike. But then Ray ends up winning with his spinning kick that Rafa didn't seem to know kind of how to take that. So it looked a little sloppy. But overall, you know, I mean, 5-minute match. Mostly there to give Rafa a look for the WXW crowd, and Kim Ray continues to steamroll all and kind of his upper mid-card role. So not much here, but it served its purpose. Then we have the next match, which is the one I was most looking forward to, Walter versus Timothy Thatcher, the Battle of Ringkampf. And this was under Ambition Rules, essentially shoot-style rules. Walter had his shooter boots on. They did some great grappling, and there was something beautiful about the early portion of this grappling. If you watch the video, you can hear the ring squeaking, and it was just one of those moments in wrestling where it was very powerful for me, and it reaffirmed why I love wrestling, as you saw these two guys that got me to buy in, that they were really jockeying for position. Yeah, they're partners, but they also have a breed of competition that burns inside of them, that they don't want to give up any position throughout this opening grappling exchange. Really, really top-notch mat work here. And that kind of breaks down into Walter throwing a forearm strike after Thatcher went for an ankle pick to escape that opening grappling exchange. Thatcher throws some overhand strikes, and then Walter does a flash gut wrench that gets an 8 count. Walter, I thought, displays his size throughout this match brilliantly, where he blocks a throw and then mounts Thatcher and pounds on him with really stiff-looking shots. Not, you know, clean to the face, but kind of in the back of the head at interesting angles. No thigh slapping, not a lot of holding back on these shots. So some really nice technical striking that looked a little unorthodox and made it stand out. Thatcher then goes back to the ankle, and Walter is able to crank Thatcher's ankle to break that, which looked really nasty. He turned it completely over. Thatcher gets a side toe suplex, and the match kind of transitions into a throw fest, leading to a KO. Walter gets a powerbomb for a 9 count, and then we get the finish, which I really loved, where Walter is trying to stalk after Thatcher with his hand strikes, but he leaves his arm wide open. Thatcher takes advantage of it with a Fujiwara armbar, and Walter immediately gets the quick tap. This was brutal, gritty, 10 minutes. Love this match. 4 stars. Great match. Something to watch, I think, if you're doing a top 100 We Don't Know Wrestling list for the workers of the year. This is a great resume builder for both guys. The next match was EYFBO versus the tag team of JFK of Caspian and Jay Skillet. EYFBO were a team that I thought was decent to good in the stuff I've seen them up to this year. And I think they really broke out and became a more polished, solid tag team in 2017. And they had a really strong performance here. EYFBO run through a lot of their offense with the double team moves, but with Drastic coming off the shoulders of Ortiz, and then Ortiz hitting a leg drop at the same time as Drastic hits the moonsault. Caspian, to start the face in peril sequence, he took a brutal trip where his face went right into the mat and he ate it really hard. And then they also do this neat spot where they pass Caspian while having him in the suplex position. Both members of the EYFBO tag in, but maintain that suplex position with him holding up and all the blood rushing down to his head. Very interesting spot that you don't see a lot of. I really enjoyed that. Caspian's able to hit a double drop kick and makes the hot tag to Skillet. JFK do a Michinoku driver crossbody combo that looked brutal for a near fall, and I also liked that pinfall had to be broken. Then EYFBO is able to come back. They do a dive off the Tower of London into a crossbody to Skillet, and then they do the Tower of London onto Caspian, and they finish off the match with a super blockbuster for the win. I thought this was an impressive showing for EYFBO. The crowd was courteous to them coming out, but I think leaving after this match, the crowd was much more in their corner, very impressed by them, seemed to have the crowd on their side. So a great showing for EYFBO. Went 3.25 for this match. Really fun tag match. The next match was my only disappointment on this card. It was Yearn Simmons versus Jackson Stone. I've never seen Stone before. He has kind of one of those Hollywood, I'm too pretty for this, Rick Rude type gimmicks, which it seems like we've kind of had a lot of lately. So it's not one of my favorite gimmicks, to be honest. They did some comedy that didn't land for me with an arm wrestling contest. Yearn dominated most of the match, but I thought when Jackson came back and started doing his bruising style of offense, it was a little haphazard. Didn't have much focus, and then Yearn ends up winning. I thought this was a pretty mad match overall, and Jackson Stone did not impress me in my first look at him. Then we have the main event. So we're right into the main event, which is Homicide versus David Starr. A really neat match on paper, first time matchup. And Homicide is somebody that, with what I've been watching in 2017, both with his current indie run, I saw him in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment have a really fun brawl with Myrtle One, and what he's done here, he's kind of been around a few promotions lately. And then also going back and watching his 2000 stuff, having great matches with Low Ki, probably having the first great indie feud of 2000. It's really gained me a lot of respect for Homicide. He was a worker I always liked, but now I really think he's probably one of the best 100 workers of all time, and was a bridge from the old era to the new era, because he has new school moveset and mentality, but also has that old school character and has a great fundamentals of wrestling. You saw that here in the beginning of this match, where this was more of a grappling exchange, more in the traditional pro sense, with some really intense collar and elbow tie-ups and a lot of kind of jockeying for position in the filling out process, but it looked really good. Action spills the outside, no surprise. Homicide dominates there. I thought it was neat that he did the Tope con Hilo in that really tight setting of the academy. And then he does the Three Amigos, and Homicide's offense on top was really smothering the star. Really impressive. I like this moment where there was two kids at ringside that kept cheering on Star, and Homicide was miffed at that. So a great little kind of character caveat that Homicide throws into his matches. And then we get kind of the comeback from Star, which leads right to the finishing. The finish becomes kind of a back of a indie finishing run with a lot of reversals, but I thought they were solid in their psychology. And was neat where Homicide kept going for the Cop Killer, couldn't hit it, kept going for the Ace Crusher. He does finally hit the Ace Crusher in a brutal lariat. And then he goes for that Cop Killer again, but Star's able to hit his product placement suplex, which is kind of like a captured German suplex, which he'd also been looking for throughout the match to get the flash win. Really good main event, really solid match, 3.5 stars. And that kind of capped off, again, a very solid show overall, a quick watch, and it got me amped for the tag league. So I would give a high recommendation to Inner Circle 4. If you either have WXW Now or you have the High Spots Network, give this one a watch before you watch the World Tag League. And I hope to be speaking to you again where I can talk about the World Tag League. So for Chad Campbell, Place to Be Nation, signing off. Thank you.